Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of Black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own societies based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours if you choose to accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for Black people in America, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation of our own. Today's show, What Has Integration Caused Black People? We're having a special interview with Student Minister Abdul Haq Muhammad. Here at the Time to Leave movement, we consist of task forces. Our task forces are in place to concentrate on the various aspects of separation. We encourage you, you're listening to this show because you know it's time to leave. You know you have to put things in place for your exodus from your mental, spiritually, and most importantly, the last step, the physical separation. So we have task forces to facilitate the various aspects, and today our task force, the Self-Sufficient Living Community Task Force, is hosting our special guest, Student Minister Abdul Haq Muhammad. I'm going to bring in our sister, Sister Mary, and she's going to introduce the rest of her task force and our special guest. Sister Mary, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, family. Can you hear me clearly?
Well, alaikum salam. We hear you clearly. It's all yours now.
Yes, sir. My name is Sister Mary X, and I'm a member of the Self-Sufficient Living Community Task Force, whose focus is on living a self-reliant existence that is at harmony with nature. Our task force deals with non-traditional housing, alternative energy, urban homesteading, and natural healing modalities, and et cetera. My co-host this evening is Sister Sharon Muhammad. She is my fellow task force member. So would you like to say assalamu alaikum, Sister Sharon?
Oh, very well. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mary and family.
All praises be to Allah. We have a great treat for you this evening. Student Minister Abdul Haq Muhammad from Muhammad Mosque No. 25 in Newark, New Jersey, has graciously agreed to be interviewed by us this evening with the topic being, what has integration cost Black people? For those of us that are unaware, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had our Holy Day of Atonement several months ago in Newark, New Jersey, and Brother Abdul Haq Muhammad and the believers hosted him under the title Separation or Death. I would like to, so this is what we're engaged in, Separation or Death. I would like to thank everyone who has called in or is logged in via our blogtalkradio.com/timetoleave. Please remind all believers and friends and foes that they can still log in and call in. If you like to ask a question during the course of our call, you can press the number 1 with a question or a comment. We have a segment called 10 Million Reasons for Separation. And this is based on current events in the world of colored people and their made Negroes. So this is our segment, 10 Million Reasons. And I'm going to give a reason, and Sister Sharon is going to give a reason. So in our current events, several days ago, she's called in Permit Patty, rather, but we're going to call her Pork Chop Patty. Pork Chop Patty called the police on an 8-year-old girl selling water. To reward her for her noble act, she was given airtime, where she's crying her pork chop juice down her face, talking about she's getting death threats and the like, and how she didn't intend to do any harm, and she really didn't even call the police. She just pretended like she was calling the police, okay? Pork Chop Patty is number 54,287 on our list of reasons why Black people need to separate from our open enemy. Unbeknownst to a lot of Black women and Black men, the white woman, despite what we think, is not our friend. Not Elaine, not Carol, not Susan, not Patty, not any of them. They are not, by nature, our friends. And Donald Trump is taking way too long, and this is why we see this assault on Black people on a daily basis, where the police is being called, because they were promised slaves. They were promised that we would be in a subjugated situation, and they see us living life, and they're like, why are these Negroes still here? I mean, under Trump, we were promised certain things, and this is not happening fast enough, and this is why on a daily basis, Black people are being called, the police are being called on Black people. So we're going to go to Sister Sharon's reason of why we are on our list of why we need to physically separate from our open enemy. Sister Sharon?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Mary. As you were speaking, I was thinking about our youth. There is countless, and even incidents that are not publicized, but we know that it's going on. But this one happened to be one that stood out for me, a 17-year-old youth, Anton, who was shot running away from the police. So this is my 8,730th reason why we need to separate. We need to separate from our open enemy. I mean, it really even infuriates me when I have to talk about this. This gets me in a whole different valence. But I feel for our youth. Our youth is the most powerful generation we've produced. I mean, I can bear witness even in my children. I'm like, where y'all come from? Why y'all thinking that way? But I look at our other youth who are yearning to be led into the right direction. So we in the Nation of Islam, we're on a mission, separation, and we want to control our community where we live, or we're going to make and create a community that we can control. So this kind of incident won't happen from the outside in. And actually, the minister is teaching us that we have a battle on two fronts. So we've got to get ourselves together so we can make a future for ourselves. Thank you.
That is a very beautiful observation, and I agree with everything that you said. So at this time, I would like to introduce to our family, I had the pleasure of visiting the Newark, New Jersey Mosque, and this brother, first I must give a disclaimer. So if you have heart conditions, if you have any medical conditions, if you you need to have someone who is near you that has, you know, that's CPR certified, this brother does not just bring fire when he teaches. This brother brings the spirit of the supreme being when he teaches. He's methodical, he's systematic, he's on point, he stays on message, and he, you know, if, you know, I'm not a church, I was never in a church like that, but if there's such a thing as a Holy Ghost and that jumps into your body and makes you act crazy, well, I experienced some of that when I heard this brother teach in Newark, New Jersey. So at this time, and he's a very kind and a very humble brother on top of that, and a young general in the Nation of Islam. So at this time, I would like to bring on Student Minister Abdul Haq Muhammad from Newark, New Jersey. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Sister Mary, if he's on the line, could you see Brother Abdul Haq? If you could push 1 if you're on the line, because I don't see him under the number right now. If you're on right now, Brother Student Minister, please press 1. You might want to give him a text or contact him, Sister Mary, because I don't see him on the board yet.
Okay, well, while we are waiting for the student minister out of Newark, New Jersey, we can discuss separation of death. The minister's lecture that he gave for the Holy Day of Atonement and how that rocked several foundations. There are people that really do not want to physically separate from our open enemy. They're very, very comfortable in their gated communities, in where they're at, even though we have no control or no say-so. We can't even tell the devil that he can't come across this, you know, he can't walk or he can't drive into our community, and we will deal with our whatever problems or issues that we have in our community. So the white male and the white female is, you know, is free for all in our community. So if we see, we have something here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that's called the Jump Out Boys. And I'm pretty sure they have this model all over the United States. It's a group of white men who are so-called police officers that are in undetected cars, or like, you know, you don't know, it just looks like a regular car. And they jump out on groups of young black men. And these brothers don't know if they're getting robbed or whatever. And so it's like nothing has really, really changed. And we don't do anything about it, even though we know that these people are basically doing it. Like, we have no say. We're just okay with it. And then how can it be okay if you are a man or a woman that believes in a supreme being and that you really believe in these teachings, and we have men and women who's jumping out on our youth, beating them up, assaulting them, calling them out of their name. And this is one of the reasons why no one has the proper respect for us, because we don't even protect the most vulnerable in our community, our children and our elderly. If you do not protect your children and your elderly, then in the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you are not fit to live. Straight up, you are not fit to live. If you are unwilling to protect your female, to protect your children, and to protect your mother. So with that being said, Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon? We're still waiting for for Brother Abdul Haq. I think he's
yes, ma'am.
He's caught up in a meeting right now. So, and we have 4th of July going on. So we could segue into discussing this upcoming Founders Day, which is going to be great. So do you want to discuss that, Sister Sharon, Founders Day?
Yes, ma'am. That, I am so excited. It would be my first visit on Muhammad's Forum. And I am so excited to know that there is a place, a heavenly place, that is preparing food for us. And all we have to do is put our mind and our energy and our resources into growing that, so that not only will it be in Georgia, but it can be in other places in the country where we all are. So I'm very excited this weekend to travel to Georgia to be on the forum. What is this, our second year or third year for Founders Day?
Oh, Founders Day is really, really old. Dr. Ridgely would have the actual facts in regards to that, and he'll probably chime in later on. But I believe that Student Minister Abdul Haq is on now. Do you see him, Brother Carlton? Assalamu alaikum. Okay, well, while we're waiting on that, he is on, but Brother Carlton is trying to find him, Sister Sharon.
Yes, ma'am. Speaking of that, too, the forum, I know that Brother Dr. Ridgely produced watermelons, and, I mean, several cities went there to pick up the watermelons, and that's just phenomenal. I wish I had access to get there and bring back watermelons, because I grew up on watermelon and I really miss eating them. But all that is available in my area are seedlings. And family, we really need to study upon that, because we don't want to eat food that was produced without a seed. And then if it is a seed, we need to look further into it. You know, because if that seed can't produce, then where did that fruit, how did that fruit come into fruition? So let's just put our scientist hats on and eat to live and know how we want to survive.
So Sister Mary and Sister Sharon, do you want to take callers while we wait for Brother Minister Haq?
Brother Abdul just texted me. He's on.
I don't tell them to push one. I don't see that number, and it's only three people in the queue right now.
The last four digits is 5601.
Okay. But he still has to push one. So even it doesn't matter what his phone number is, he's not in the queue. So I can't bring him in until he presses one.
Okay.
And so he's not
yes,
in the queue.
Sir.
You might want to ask him to double check the number. He may be calling another show. But I don't see him.
Okay.
I see you. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, while we're working on that, technical difficulties. So back to Founders Day. This also is my first Founders Day, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited to meet believers from all over the Nation of Islam, believers that work with staple goods, believers just that I've been talking to for months and months and months and have never physically seen them. I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about actually working on the farm. I'm excited about the whole entire experience. We're also going to be doing some cross trainings during Founders Day. And basically a cross training is where you get knowledge, whatever skill that you have, you're imparting that skill to other people. So we're all going to leave more enriched than we were. Is that him? Walaikum salam. Thank you so much. All praises due to Allah. I am so sorry for the technical difficulties, brother student minister.
All praises due to Allah, my dear sister. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, as it was told to us by Brother Jibril Muhammad, whenever you want to do something good in this wicked world, God will give you immediate trial to see if you are sincere in doing what it is that you set out to do. So all praises due to Allah.
One of the reasons, so we already pre-introduced you, but one of the reasons why you're so beloved is that you start off with the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You're always invoking the words and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the words and the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So all praises due to Allah. So again, I would like to introduce our student minister from Newark, New Jersey, Muhammad Mosque number 25, student minister Abdul Haq Muhammad. All praises due to Allah. So being that we're starting a little bit late, I want to get into our questions.
Yes, ma'am.
The first question is, can you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you come into the nation? What was your process?
Yes, ma'am. Well, all praises due to Allah. First and foremost, I want to thank you, your co-host, for having me on this special blog program. Deeply grateful and highly honored for the privilege and the pleasure to speak to you and all of those who are your listening audience. But I would be remiss if I did not thank Almighty God, Allah, who appeared to us in the divine person of Master Prophet Muhammad, and for giving to us the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, whom we justifiably believe to be his exalted Christ, and for the two of them giving to us the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, whom we justifiably believe to be their Messiah in our midst. So I'm deeply grateful and highly honored for this privilege and it's pleasure, but myself, I was just like any typical so-called Negro in the hells of North America, lost, seeking for something. I did not know what it was, but I knew it was something greater than what I, at that present time, was involved in, which was really nothing. So I just always had a desire to learn. I mean, from a little child, I've always just wanted to know more, and that desire, I would say, led me to find the illuminating book that was written by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, message to the black man, and just, you know, seeking and searching. One day I was walking past a bookstore in the downtown north area of New Jersey called The Source of Knowledge, and just going into that bookstore, I seen sitting on the shelves, Message to the Black Man. And, you know, by God's grace, I grabbed that book, and I've never let it down since I grabbed it. And then finding that book, you know, I wanted to learn more. Who is this man, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad? So I came in contact with a brother named Levi Muhammad, and he sold me one of my first DVDs from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was representing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And from there was love at first sight. You know, so after finding Message to the Black Man and being introduced to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I never looked back. Again, I was not a religious man. I went to church as a youngin', but I was not actively involved in church and all that church brought and gave me. But I was there because my family went there. Most of our family went to the church, the local neighborhood church. But again, I never was actively involved, you know, but I was there. I participated in, you know, various activities. But I can't say that I was a stout Christian. But I was there, and I did, you know, hear many passages read from the Bible. I didn't pay much attention. I can't say that it was inspirational enough to make me want to be a devout Christian, but I did participate and go to the church like many of our people, but the church did not hold me and it did not keep me. So as a young man, just growing up like a typical black man, I wanted to play sports. I thought I wanted to do music, you know, and I desired to do that. But again, once I came in contact with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I no longer wanted to do that, and I wanted to do what I saw the Honorable Farrakhan doing, and that was to help and elevate, raise up. You know, that's it.
Yes, sir.
Bean shell. You don't eat nuts, so I say a bean shell, not a nutshell, but a bean shell.
Yes, sir. All praises be to Allah. So you came into the Nation of Islam officially in 2008, and then you became the minister, the student minister of the mosque in 2014. That's quite amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I rose through the ranks. I did not come in and then immediately was promoted to minister. I was a squad leader. I was a lieutenant. I came through the ranks. I soldiered, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us repeatedly, that soldiering is a part of the Nation of Islam. So I soldiered. I was a lieutenant. Again, I was a squad leader. So I rose through the ranks. But in rising through the ranks, I studied hard. I was very diligent in my studies. Again, I was just so inspired by what I heard by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that I just wanted to represent him. I did not come into the nation desiring to be a minister. I did not know what I wanted to be. All I know is that I wanted to help. So I worked hard and I soldiered hard. And in soldiering hard, you know, various people who are already in positions of authority, they see me, they recognize me. We had a student minister here at that time, Lawrence Muhammad. He put me in the ministry. Our East Coast regional captain, Brother Majid Muhammad, heard me. And then, you know, he was very impressed by what he heard, my recall of the lessons, the Bible and the Holy Quran. And then he began to take me to different mosques, New York City, let me speak in FOI class, which is the training ground of the men of the Nation of Islam. So just being in FOI, they allowed me to speak to address the men. Brother Majid Muhammad took me to various mosques and trained me and let me speak at different events, different platforms. You know, so I got my training that way. It wasn't formally, but, you know, it was a training ground nevertheless. And in hearing me, Brother Majid Muhammad, he told at that time the Eastern Regional Minister, at that time which was Brother Qadir Muhammad, you know, and they began to help me, aid me, guide me, groom me, give me pointers. But it wasn't until, I can't recall the year, but we had an event here in North New Jersey on Route 22, and the National Secretary, Brother Burry Muhammad, came, and he heard me. And, you know, from there, the rest was history. Sister Ava came. We had an event with her, and she heard me. So various people began to hear of a brother named Jackson X in North New Jersey. So my name had got all the way to Chicago. The Supreme Captain heard me, Brother Mustafa. You know, so they would come to North, and they would hear about me, and they would take it back to Chicago. And, you know, eventually, our student minister here, Brother Lawrence Muhammad, who was a great servant and helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, as time dictates agenda and time went all the time, you know, he began to get older, and they felt like we needed a change here. So I was put up, not immediately, but they put me in a rotation at that time. I taught every third Sunday, but eventually they would make me the student minister of Muhammad's Mosque number 25 in 2014.
All praises be to Allah. What a beautiful story. And it allows us to see that if you put in the work and you do the due diligence and you have the heart too, that that we can rise to the occasion. So all praises be to Allah. Can you give a little history of Newark, New Jersey, and how it became a Muslim enclave? One of the things that I've seen in New Jersey is that if anybody goes to Newark, you're going to see a whole bunch of Muslims all over the place. Muslim businesses, Muslim blocks. It's just like, it's just amazing. It's like you've come to a Muslim country. So can you tell us a little bit about the history of Newark and how that can be duplicated?
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Well, Newark, again, has a very rich history as it relates to Islam. We know that Noble Drew Ali, 1913-1914, he had his headquarters here. The Moors were very strong and very prominent here in the city of Newark, New Jersey. The Nation of Islam, in the 1950s, there were a group of brothers whom they called the Council. And these brothers, after hearing the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they begin to come together and they begin to meet. And there's a lot of history over this group called the Council, how strong they was, how passionate they was about the teachings. So there's a lot of hearsay as it relates to how Newark got its number. There's a lot of, I guess you would say, urban legend as it relates to Newark, New Jersey. And in the beginning, there's stories about how Brother Malcolm came and, you know, he wanted to make Newark a satellite. Again, I can't say that this has been confirmed, but these are, I guess you would say, stories that you hear as it relates to Newark in its beginning or Genesis. But they said that Malcolm came and he wanted to make Malcolm a satellite, but the brothers here in Newark was just so strong that they would not, you know, go for that. So they came together. There was a council. I believe they wrote the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and they asked him for a number. He did not give them a number at that time, but eventually he would send Minister James Shabazz, who was in prison with him when he was locked up. And the rest is history. About 1958, 1959, Minister James Shabazz was one of his staunch followers. He was known as the Son of Thunder, and he was in Newark from 1959 to about 1973, where he was eventually assassinated. But being in Newark, he was very strong. He was an authoritative figure, but he had a saying that he wanted to give Jersey over to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he tried his best to do it. He ran Jersey City, New Brunswick, Asbury Park, various little neighboring cities and towns that from Newark, as being like the head, he affected New Jersey as a state and as a whole. And after he was assassinated in 1973, his son, James Ibn Shabazz Jr., took over, and he kept the tradition of being stout, being strong, as his father was. But eventually, we all know the history with the nation fell and had its demise in 1975. And after its fall in 1977, when the minister stood up, Brother Anthony at that time arose to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He had a strong captain named Brother Sterling Muhammad. So these were very strong men, and Brother Kadir, in the tradition of James Shabazz, took Newark and raised Newark to prominence. He received the name Brother Abdul Kadir Muhammad in the 1980s, and he followed the tradition of James Shabazz, where he made Newark a very, very staunch helpers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan under the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So Newark just has always had a very rich history as it relates to Islam, and you can find that history today. So, you know, we're here just trying to continue the legacy and build on that legacy as those who came before us did and helped to give over New Jersey to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But Newark is definitely a very Islamically inclined city. This is the only city where you find Christian preachers and pastors selling bean pies. You have Christian pastors, Muslim names, Ali, Pastor Muhammad. So it's one of the only cities where you can find a mixed multitude. I mean, you find Christians in the church, Christians with Muslim names. So it has a very rich Islamic history. But, you know, we're just trying to continue that legacy of keeping Islam strong here in the city of Newark, New Jersey.
Yes, sir. Would you say that I know I have a lot of family in New York. Would you say that that a lot of people from different areas that are Muslim decided to move to Newark, and that's one of the reasons why there's a lot of Muslims in Newark also?
Well, I would say that Newark was the catalyst city. Islam in Newark was always strong, and the neighboring cities was affected by Newark because Newark is the biggest city in New Jersey. So whatever happens in Newark, the surrounding cities, East Orange, Rahway, Irvington, Hillside, these cities are affected by what happens in Newark. So Islam was always strong in Newark, and it dominated in Newark. But you have people who live in Newark. They have families that live in these neighboring towns and neighboring cities, Rahway, Hillside, Irvington, Scotts Plains, Morristown. So it was, Newark was the catalyst, and Newark affected the other way around. So when you have Islam strong in Newark and being dominant in Newark, it began to influence, again, as I said, these other and smaller cities, Asbury Park and, you know, these various other little small cities that you have that surrounds Newark, Rahway and, you know, Irvington and Hillside and East Orange and Scotts Plains and, you know, these other small counties and municipalities that surrounds Newark.
Yes, sir. You had the honor of hosting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan this past Holy Day of Atonement. Can you tell us the highlights of your experience and the experience of the believers? And do you believe that more people are becoming receptive to the idea of physical separation?
I definitely believe that. One of the highlights for me and seeing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is first just seeing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I believe that I know him scripturally and prophetic at him with, as the scriptures say, natural eyes, but I see his divinity. But seeing how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is treated when he comes to Newark, he's treated like a head of state. He has a police escort. He gets a tarmac pickup at the airport. So seeing the respect that Muslims and non-Muslims half of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his impact, he has affected so many people in the nation and outside of the nation. So seeing our people's love and respect and admiration for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is always, always a plus. And particularly when he comes to the city of Newark, he's been in and out of Newark since I've been the minister several times. And the love that he gets, and not just that he gets, his son gets, his family gets, Mother Khadija was here, and she got the same treatment that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan got, a tarmac pickup, police escort. So to see our man treated as a head of state is always a highlight for me. The message that he brought, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says on page 219, the message to the black man, he says, the message that I bring is not for cowards. He says, those of you who fight must be ready to withstand the barbs and insult of those who come to investigate, pry, and claim that our ultimate aim is to undermine the American way of life for which we have no such intention. So the message that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan brought when he came to Newark, separation and death, was not a milquetoast message. And as he said to us, that fearlessness looks like insanity to a coward. So the message that he brought was a very strong message. It was a very definitive message. It was a message that did not have any gray areas, separation or death. And he declared our independence, and what he brought out as it relates to the American flag and what it means to respect it and disrespect it. It was very monumental. Twitter was on fire after the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message that he gave to us in the city of Newark, New Jersey. But I believe that his message was very penetrating and The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words have so much depth and so much breadth. I believe when he gave the message to us, many of us heard it, but we did not understand actually what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was declaring. At that point, he was declaring our independence, as the founding fathers of this nation declared their independence. Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson and all of the founding fathers and those who signed that Declaration of Independence. What we history in this particular city of Newark, New Jersey, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is, in fact, building a Newark for us, just as his predecessor, Noah, and those that preceded him. But I believe, as he taught us, that divine men are never properly judged or seen by their contemporaries, but they are best judged and measured by history. So I believe that history will tell the effect and the impact that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message of separation and death had on this city, this country, and the world. So time will tell, I believe. And I believe that our people are slow, you understand, because of, as you all were speaking about, what we eat, what we drink, what we watch. So it takes a little longer for the message to penetrate the depths of our consciousness. As the Bible says, he came to his own, but his own received him not. He was light, but the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So our people, although they are waking up, and the masses are awakening, we still are a little slow, I believe, in hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's why he gave us that monumental book called Closing the Gap, because there is a gap between us and him. So we have to close that gap very quickly.
Yes, sir. I do have a short question, then I'm going to let Sister Sharon ask her question. There's something that you said, and it brought back the minister's press conference on November 16th, where he said, we must have 8 states. I think that some people think that the minister is just going to tell us exactly what to do and how to do it. Like, literally, like, he's given the marching orders that we must separate. So in that, for me, it's instruction and guidance. Like, we must separate, okay, now be about that business. So what are your feelings about that? Like, should we be waiting for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's, you know, definitive, like, these are the 8 states that I want y'all to go to, or, you know, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, dear sisters, first and foremost, we have to be very clear that one of the things that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said at that press conference was that this is not from Louis Farrakhan, but this is directly from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we must be very clear that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not a self-styled leader, but he's a divinely guided man. So the Quran, in the 53rd chapter entitled The Star, Al-Najm, it says, your companion errs not, nor does he deviate. It is naught but revelation that is revealed to him. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan does not speak just because he wants to speak, but he is being divinely guided. He's a divinely guided man. So the Quran also says in the 49th chapter, raise not your voice above the messenger's voice, nor speak loudly to him as you speak loudly one to another. So as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad instructed us, wherever he says go, go, wherever he says stay from, stay from. And we try as best we can to stay in that line of divine. The Quran also says, it behooves not a believing man or a believing woman when Allah and his messenger have decided in affair to exercise a choice in their matter. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our guide. In some things, I believe, as believers, we have to use our logic, our reason, and the guidance that he has given us based on those immutable principles. But I can't say, dear sister, as it relates to this particular topic, what are the 8 states? Or the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is still here. And why he is still here, I believe that Allah will guide him to guide us. Time where we will have to look back on what he has given us, and maybe the answer will be there. I'm pretty sure that in his teaching, in his 62 years of teaching, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan intellectual library is enormous. And I believe if we just hold on to what he's given us from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then we'll find the best method and strategy that we need in order to separate and find those particular states. We can't say, or I can't say definitively, that he has never named those eight states. I can say that when he was on Phil Donahue in 1990 and Phil Donahue asked him, he said, well, that's something that has to be discussed. So on that particular platform, he did not say what those eight states were. But we know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on point number four says we want area that's mentally rich. So we know it has to be area where it's fertile and where we can produce. We know that for a fact. But where exactly, I can't say, you know. I can't say, and I would never try to say, because as a student, I would never want to be on the opposite side of my teacher. So I'll just stay in my place as a student.
All praises to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Sister Mary, Sister Brother Carlton,
yes.
We're down to 13 minutes, and I have Dr. Rijni and Sister Ann on the line. Do you mind I open their mic?
Okay, yes. Please bring them in. Yes, all praises to Allah.
Dr. Rijni and Sister Ann, your mics are open.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
My understanding is that in Newark, the mayor of Newark and his assistant are very instrumental in setting up apprentice programs for skilled laborers, in other words, to get skills. Because if you're going to separate into your own community, whether it be a new community in a rural area, or whether you're going to take over a portion of a city, you're going to have to build it, fix it, maintain it. Everything's got to be working properly. You got to have people who know how to do that. So what do you know about those programs, and how many people, young people, are really interested in getting skills today in Newark?
Thank you for that question, Brother Rigney. When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came here and he spoke to our beloved mayor, he asked him, are there any vocational training schools? And at that time, we didn't have many. We had one called North Tech. But now they have just built, a massive vocational training school. It's massive. I believe it will be opening this upcoming school year, the Donald Payne Vocational Training School. So when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan came, he asked the mayor about it, and we see, I believe, the mayor has been very, as you said, instrumental in trying to adopt various programs. But he does have programs, training, apprenticeship programs on carpentry. So he's very instrumental. His administration is very instrumental in trying to give our young people those necessary trade skills that they need so that they can make jobs when jobs are not available. How many are involved? I can't say the number, but you can see on Instagram, I just was looking at a few flyers, training program flyers that they have, the city of Newark have online. But how many, I can't say, but it is a topic of discussion here in the city, and it's something that this administration pushes. I can say I've seen it. I know a few people who have been in these training programs and who have gone on to get skills. So it's something that's very active in this city of North New Jersey. I can say that, Dr. Rigney, but I can't give you a precise number. You got so many hundreds. But it is something that's active in the city of North New Jersey. And we also now, I know, have two schools that deals with vocational training.
Well, thank you for the answer. And it's not necessary that you have all those figures, but I just wanted you to give to the audience that information, because anybody who's talking about separation, you got to have those skilled tradespeople, and the people who listen to the program need to know that there are people who are trying to do that, and they might want to go visit Newark to see what they're doing, so they can go and replicate it in their cities, because there used to be vocational education and training, in high school when I came up, and they took that out. And now we got people who don't have any skills, and there's nothing for them to do. So Newark is pushing forward with that. So I just wanted you to bring that out, and thank you very much for giving it out so people can know that there is somebody doing something so they can do something too. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor. That was a very, very, very timely question. We know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Messenger of the Black Man, asked the question, do we have the men and women for self-government? And he talked about how we had technicians of every sort, mathematicians, farmers, and we had all of these people, and we have all of these people with these particular skills, but what we don't have is unity of the whole. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says on page 32 of Message to the Black Man, he says, there's no greater handicap among the so-called Negroes than disunity. He said, which is the root cause of hate, dislike, disunity, disagreement, quarreling, betrayal, stupidity, fighting and killing one another. He said, how can we be loved if we have not love for self and our own nation and dislike being a member of our own? Then what other nations will trust our love and membership? So we do have men and women of skills, high skills, of every kind, herdsmen, agriculturalists, but what we don't have is unity. And as soon as we unite, we will have a greater chance at fighting off this enemy and doing what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Muhammad kind of asking us to do as it relates to separation.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
Sister Ann, did you have a question?
Well, I see our time is limited, and I thought I heard Sister Mary say that Sister Sharon had questions, so I will.
No, Sister Ann, it's not a problem. Please ask your question, beloved.
And we are down to 7 minutes.
Okay,
Sister Ann, you can ask your question.
Right, Dr. Ridgely basically touched on what I was going to ask about the vocational education training. So, Sister Sharon can come on in.
Thank you, ma'am. I just want to thank family. Brother Minister Abdul Haq Muhammad, it is a pleasure to hear you and have you as our guest today. I just want to end with one question for you, sir. You're certainly sounding as a fearless and a strong defender of our minister and our teaching and our messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So my question would be, sir, if you had to leave a message with a young brother or a young sister, what would you leave them with? What would you part with them with?
Well, I always thank you for the question, dear sister. I always tell our young people, I have a saying, I tell them, don't let your struggle determine your lifestyle. I tell them, don't let your struggle determine your lifestyle. Because as young people...
One moment, sir. Someone has their phone. Can they mute their phone so we won't get that feedback, please? Thank you.
So I always let the young people know, don't let your struggle determine your lifestyle. And I always let them know that you're going to have struggle. But struggle is ordained and struggle is also temporary. But don't let your struggle be the deterrent of what you do and what you don't do. So I would leave that message with our young people. You're going to struggle. Again, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farah kind of taught us from the Holy Quran, that struggle is ordained, but struggle is temporary. But don't let a temporary struggle cause you to make a permanent mistake. So that's what I would leave with our young people. Don't let your struggle determine your lifestyle. Struggle is ordained, but it's temporary.
And we actually have one more caller, if you want to let that last caller ask a question.
Yes, sir. Bring him right on in.
Okay, I think that's Sister Katina. Sister Katina, your line is open. Sister Katina, your line is open.
As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum
salam. No, I just wanted to, I actually just opened the line when we were waiting for brother to come on, and they were talking about the actually having a desire to separate. And so I was just going to make a comment to that wise that whatever way we do it, the point now is to get up and do something in the way of separation. And it definitely has to be on our minds and on a daily basis and something that we have to go ahead and put forth the effort and begin to do. That's all I really wanted to say on that.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you, brother. So there's one last question. There's one last question. And that's the question. That's the reason why we came together. And that question is, what has integration cost Black people, Brother Abdul Haq?
Well, in law, they have something called an irreparable injury. And an irreparable injury is an injury that cannot be compensated or measured by money. So integration, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that when God appeared to him in the person of Master Farouk Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, in 1931 in Detroit, he said that America was his number one enemy on his list for destruction. And while he singled out other European nations as getting an extension of time, he declared that Americans and Germans were the two worst vicious evil troublemakers of the entire nation Earth. And he said that America could not be repaid back for her treatment of the so-called American Negro. So integration, again, has cost us our humanity, the desire to even want to think and do for ourselves. It really has cost us everything. So what hasn't integration cost us? And this is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is making the deafening cry of separation. Because we cannot live together with this Caucasian in peace. He's disagreeable to live with in peace. So we must separate. Because if we don't separate, we'll always be under the influence of him, whether it's spiritually, politically, or morally. So we have to separate. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught us of something that Marcus Garvey gave us, and the aptitude of the Negro to disobey orders coming from himself. And he said that the Negro in the Western Hemisphere, because of his environment that imposed upon him a complex inferiority, is the most stubborn individual to discipline within the race. And he said that it will only be separation that will allow us to come together as a people and shake off the shackles of bondage and servitude, slavery, and self-hate that this Caucasian has imposed on us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that, by the help of Allah, I have and I will still prove to you that Allah God has given me the only solution to our problems here in this race of merciless devils. He said, but if you can prove to me that you have a better solution for the future of our people, he said, I will bring myself and my followers and join you. He said, but if the solution given to me by Almighty God Allah best come, you and your followers and join with me. And he said that solution and the only solution is separation. He spoke unequivocally as it relates to our solution, a separation.
1 minute.
That was it.
All praises due to Allah.
All praises due to Allah. We want to thank
you.
That's
on page, I'm sorry. That's on page 221, a message to the Black man, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that he will prove to us that he has, and he will continue to prove to us that Allah God has given him the only solution. Top
30 seconds.
Yes, ma'am.
All praises to Allah. Brother Abdul Haq, can you please give us your YouTube channel? Do you FaceTime your lectures?
Yes, ma'am. You can go on my Facebook page, Abdul Haq Muhammad, and we do Facebook Live every Sunday. You can also see me on Instagram at Abdul Haq Muhammad and also YouTube at Abdul Haq Muhammad as well.
10 seconds.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sister, for this most necessary Blog Talk Radio show.
Allahu Akbar. Brother, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And may Allah continue to keep you strong and protected to do his will. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. May Allah bless you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your
ignorance?
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
Yeah.
Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
Tennessee.
Oh.